Well, Christchurch's newest electorate candidate is making his first move in his battle against Gerry Brownlee for the seat of Ilam. City Councillor Raph Manji has announced his plan for the city, which he is calling Christchurch 2026. And Raph Manji joins me now. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Chris.
You're proposing a $1 billion investment fund to be used for the Red Zone redevelopment, central housing and a multi-purpose arena and others. What does that mean?
Well, this is what I think we need to get the job finished. At the moment, the city's in a kind of half-baked situation. So when I look at the plan, it's $400 million for a central city housing fund, you know, to build homes in the East Frame. Otherwise, we'll be waiting 15, 20 years for that to happen. $300 million to actually fund all the projects that need to be done in the Red Zone to make that a world-class experience. $200 million to get the stadium away. I mean, let's face it, we either do it now or we don't. We should learn from the experience of Auckland in 2006 when they had the opportunity to build the waterfront stadium. They didn't take it, wasted all that money on Eden Park. Now they need to build a new stadium. And $100 million for what I call city revitalization projects, which is actually going to take the city to the next level.
I think it was Yanni Johansson who made the point in council yesterday, and he questioned who is actually running the city. He believes that city councillors don't know, so if city councillors don't know, the city doesn't know either. What do you say?
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a complete lack of leadership. And I think the problem is we're still stuck with this blueprint which sits over the city and dictates what happens, but no one's driving it. I mean, could you get anyone to tell you what's the vision for the city, who's leading the city, but also what is the destination for the city? So by putting in Christchurch 2026 and having the ambitious goal of potentially hosting the Commonwealth Games in 2026, we're setting a destination. Now, the problem with the blueprint is the timelines were all wrong. They were way too optimistic. Anybody who knew anything about disaster recovery knew that. But as we missed all the timelines, there was no reset. There was no review. There was no, okay, this is where the next piece of the plan is. These are the new timelines. And also, this is what the new vision for the city is. It was almost like they just, you know, put the blueprint out. Oh, well, some things happened, some things didn't. And then they've walked away. And nobody is interested in Christchurch anymore. So, you know, part of this is about getting Christchurch back onto the national stage conversation. And we need to do that.
You say there's been a complete lack of leadership for the city. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that Leanne Dalzell's job?
Well, no, because I think the council's been doing its piece. If you think about it, the council's been spending, you know, $1 billion a year for the last 3-4 years. We've pretty much completed all the community facility rebuild. Our big projects are either finished or underway, you know, the town hall, the new central library, the Puna Y is about to get underway. All the infrastructure stuff is well through. The biggest focus for the council now is the land drainage recovery plan, which is obviously dealing with flooding.
So in your view, who should lead the city?
Well, I think that if you look at Auckland, you know, they're in a similar situation. The mayor leads the city, but the role of central government in our country is so huge. Central government spends about 90% of all public money in New Zealand. That's one of the most highly centralized systems that we have. So it's very, very difficult for mayors to actually, you know, lead in the way they'd like to. They've got local issues to deal with. You know, Phil Gough has them, Leanne has them. But the problem is the government came in with the blueprint and the red zone clearance. So they basically took over the city. Now, they've got to complete the job. That is the most important thing.
If you win the Ilam seat, doesn't that mean that there'll have to be a by-election and won't ratepayers be forced to pick up that tab? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I have thought about that. I mean, I'll say two things on that. One, the ward that I represent, which is Waimari, has a very, very organised community, the Avonhead Community Group. They will probably pre-select a candidate who will be, you know, so potentially we could get away without a by-election. But two, I mean, trust me, if I'm in the position where I get elected, the $65,000 for a by-election is going to be small change when we're talking about potentially Christchurch getting hundreds of millions of dollars of new investment.
If you say essentially like the government is running Auckland and Christchurch and essentially running our major cities, then does that mean our mayors and councillors' roles are largely redundant?
I'm not saying the government is running them. They're not running them at all, but the governments have a lot of expenditure power. So look at things like the central rail link in Auckland, the roading systems, you know, the new stadiums. You know, councils can only do so much. I mean, talk to ratepayers. They're absolutely maxed out. Christchurch ratepayers are maxed out because they're bearing a huge cost for the rebuild. I think people don't realise that. So central government has a lot of influence.
Okay. So who should, in your view though, who should run Christchurch City? Is it the mayor or is it the Islam candidate? Who should run the city?
Well, I think we still need a minister for Christchurch regeneration, which represents the government's interest in here. I mean,
and we have Nicky Wagner who does that now.
Well, yes. I mean, I don't think we're seeing a lot of leadership there. You know, Nikki's outside cabinet. She doesn't have a lot of influence. I mean, what I'm saying now is we need a complete reset. And the plan that I put forward is what I think will do the job.
But if we need a complete reset now, why can't you achieve that in council?
Because that's the council. The council piece is a different piece. The government piece is a different piece. The government has the blueprint. It has all the land that it's compulsorily acquired in the city. It has the red zone land. It has still a huge obligation to finish the job in the city. That is very, very different to what council is doing.
And therefore, if it's doing that job now, what are you trying to do that's actually different from that? Because we have at the moment Development Christchurch. We have Otakaro Limited. We have Regenerate Christchurch. We have the Christchurch City Council. I mean, how many bloody agencies do we need in the city?
I'm not sure I understand the question. What I'm saying is that in order to finish the job of the rebuild and the recovery and the restoration of the city, we need to do X, Y, and Z, which means the government needs to build the houses in the East Frame. The government needs to fund the redevelopment of the red zone. The projects are there. The government needs to fund its portion of the new covered multi-purpose arena. And the government needs to fund some of the smaller grained projects, which actually have government input, like a new indoor velodrome. So that's the difference. This is not something, you know, the council does not have the capability to do that, and nor is it the responsibility of the council. The council didn't do the East Frame. The council didn't do the compulsory acquisition. The council didn't do the red zone. These are government-level projects.
But the council did sign off largely, or is involved quite heavily with Development Christchurch, Otakaro Limited, Regenerate Christchurch. You go on those websites and it has the city council logos there. So presumably the Christchurch City Councillors and perhaps yourself have all signed off these agencies. So why the change now?
I don't understand your questions at all, Chris. Development Christchurch is the development agency for the city, and it is doing the job that it's been asked to do.
What's it developing?
New Brighton Regeneration. Otakaro is a government-owned company, and Otakaro may well be the vehicle that delivers this investment plan that I'm talking about. My preference has always been for a single urban development agency. The government is out consulting on that at the moment, and maybe that's somewhere where we'll end up.
Okay, so in your view, do you think agencies like Development Christchurch, Otakaro Limited, Regenerate Christchurch and the Christchurch City Council, by and large, all these agencies, are they doing a good job in rebuilding the city?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's not the structure I would have preferred. I would have liked a single urban development agency for the reconstruction of Christchurch, which included Development Christchurch, Regen and Otakaro. The government wanted to keep Otakaro separate, so that's the way we've done it. The problem with Regen Christchurch is it's doing a lot of planning around the red zone and around other regeneration areas, but it's got no funding to execute. So people are getting to the point now where they're saying, well, there's all these lovely plans. Where's the money for it? So I'm saying the government's got to come in now, show that the funding is there, and then we can get on with that stuff.
Do you think the government will?
Yes.
Prop up with money?
I think they will. I mean, I think this is a compelling proposition. It's a proposition that I'm going to continue to talk about. In terms of the payback for the Crown, it's going to be huge. And I think the government cannot afford to not do this.
What do you think that you bring to the table that Minister Brownlee does not?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I think what I've got is the ability to bridge local and central government. I mean, there is a huge gap. Wellington is so out of touch with Christchurch. It's so out of touch with local government in general. And, it's, you know, I've been in the thick of this for the last 3.5 years. I came into local government with no experience in that. And, you know, often I've been gobsmacked at the way things are run in this country. So I think, you know, I know Wellington well. I know cross-party MPs. I know a lot of officials. I know the language. And I know how Wellington works. And I can help bridge that divide between local and central government. I mean, as I said before, there's a great degree of centralization around public expenditure in New Zealand. I'd like to see some of that expenditure devolved to the local level. So, you know, we've got the DHB and all the problems there, but there's nothing really the city can do about that because that's funded directly and controlled directly by the government. The same with education. All the problems we've had with our local schools being shut down, zones being changed, the city has no input into that because it's run out of Wellington. And I think we need probably more devolution so actually that we can control, and this is the same for any city in the country, we can have better control and better kind of strategic outlooks of bringing our public services together. But at the moment, we have a centralized system. I think I can go to Wellington. I know how to sort out the problems, and I think I can sort out Christchurch too.
So you're saying you can do that. You have more power as somebody in government than you do now as a councillor.
Well, I think I've done the job that's required as councillor. And like I said, council is maxed out.
If you want to be in government, you have to work out what you publicly want people to know in terms of what is your greatest achievement. What would you say is your greatest achievement in council? What's that been for you?
Yeah, I mean, sorting out the finances. I mean, you remember, Chris, we did all those interviews back in the early days. The place was a mess. We were, you know, potentially on the verge of having to call in a crown manager. And, you know, we worked our butts off that first couple of years, you know, all the arm wrestles with government, trying to get the finances into order, trying to work out what our financial position was, trying to settle the biggest insurance claim in New Zealand's history, dealing with a cost share agreement that had more holes than a Swiss cheese. And, you know, it was a very, very challenging time. I mean, I've worked in financial markets for many years, but I don't think I've ever had to do such a tough job. So getting the city finances onto an even keel, settling that $635 million insurance claim, putting in new measures around risk management, and at least getting ourselves to a space where we could make decisions and at least know where they sat financially.
Rafe Manji, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Okay, thanks.
All the best to you. It is.